Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. Presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Teron Davenport from ESPN will be with us at 8 o'clock. We will get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans to this point in OTAs. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Our program's leading philosopher, Joe Rexroad, has a question that I'm excited to hear for Tennessee fans and for Vanderbilt fans. And, Joe, it relates to what we talked a lot about this week, and that is the Brendan Sorsby situation going on down in Texas Tech. So, Joe, set this thing up as our noted philosopher on the program. What question do you have for the good people here in the Middle Tennessee area that would call themselves Vanderbilt fans, Tennessee fans, or really any college football fan?
Yeah, it's obviously we have more, I think. I mean, do we have more Bama fans? I mean, I know we have got some Auburn fans too. We got a lot of Auburn fans around. Yeah, pick your school, whatever school you love. It's very simple. And I know some people are going to quickly go to, oh, no, never. But I want you to think real hard, and I want you to really dig deep and be honest here. If your school was Texas Tech, would you support Brendan Sorsby playing? Because I have seen, Robbie, somewhat shockingly, I have seen some Texas Tech fan pushback to this whole thing. Like, guys, what are we doing? Now, mostly I've seen, you guys are just mad because we're good and all that BS, including coming from the mouth of Cody Campbell, who some would say didn't have a lot of credibility previously. I would argue against that. I would argue that I think he has said and done some things, and I mean, his handprints are all over this bill that's going to fail. But that makes sense, even if it's self-serving to a point. And of course it is. I mean, it's self-serving to not want, but if it's self-serving to not want the Big Ten and SEC to go create a Super League, then be self-serving. Okay, that's fine. He's losing all the credibility with this crap, especially some of the stuff he's bringing up. And by the way, I have not watched it. Maybe I'll bring myself to watch it. Did you see that they put out a 22-minute video yesterday?
I saw that they put one out. I did not watch it. I ain't watching all that.
The president, the AD, and it's just all the same stuff. Well, we're supporting Brendan. It's like, okay, no one's saying you shouldn't support him. You can't play him.
Yeah, that mean he has
and everybody
to play.
And everybody knows that. And everybody knows you can't play him. So if you're a Tennessee fan, this is your situation. Instead of wondering which of these young guys is going to be the quarterback this year, you got a high-priced $5 million possible first-round NFL quarterback coming in. And then this scandal hits, and it's like, oh, my God, we're so screwed. But then, boom, oh, a judge somehow grants a temporary injunction. You're good. All this stuff, I mean, like all the negativity toward the school. And also, again, the point of if you have someone who does this and they play, what does it do to your sport? Are you okay with that? Are you saying, I don't care. Team X would do it. I've heard a lot of people say, we know Lane Kiffin would be playing him right now.
Yeah.
Team X would do it. So why can't we do it? We're going to be the nice ones. We're going to be the team, you know, with integrity that cares about something beyond just our own winning. I'm curious to hear what people think.
Here's what I'll kind of go to on my answer for this, because I think I've got a two-part answer to it. One, I would like to think that being the concern for the morality of college football that I have and the future of college football, all these things, I would like to think that I'd take a stand in this situation, Joe. The reality is I probably wouldn't. Just to be honest with you, the reality is I would probably say, yeah, you know, if you're Tennessee, you could probably win a whole lot more games with Sorsby than you could without him. The interesting part of this specifically for Tennessee and Vanderbilt, which I think for Tennessee and Vanderbilt fans would make it easier to say, nah, just go ahead and get this kid out of here. Both Tennessee and Vanderbilt have quarterback recruits that the fan base believes can be just an absolute critical part of the future. I mean, Vanderbilt has the number one recruit in the history of the program in Jared Curtis, okay? And, you know, Faison Brandon is not the number one recruit in the history of Tennessee's program, but he's pretty good. Like, when you stack up just purely recruiting rankings. So, I think for Tennessee and Vanderbilt fans specifically, it would be easier, theoretically, to just say, yeah, get that kid out of there, because they have guys that they feel – I mean, there's a chance that both of those guys are going to be starting for Tennessee and Vanderbilt respectively this year anyway, with Brandon and with Curtis. So I think that would make it easier for some Tennessee fans and Vanderbilt fans to go that route. I also think there would be some Vanderbilt fans and Tennessee fans that say, yep, it's great that we have those kids. Those kids are maybe not ready to play high-level college football yet. And think about what Tennessee's offense could be with a quarterback like Sorsby, with those receivers that they have. Or think about, you know, all the players that are coming back to Vanderbilt. I know Vanderbilt lost Pavia and Stowers, but it ain't like they don't have good players on their roster right now. Think about what that team could be with Sorsby at quarterback. So it's a very interesting question there. I do think Tennessee and Vanderbilt specifically are better equipped to dismiss him than others would be. For instance, Texas Tech.
Okay. No, that's a good point. So let me change that since this is just hypothetical anyway. So I'll change it to just you have the exact same situation as Texas Tech. So any school, whoever you are, you're an Alabama fan, you're an Auburn fan, you're a Missouri fan, you have basically Sorsby, your team has paid a ton. He is your big hope for this year to quarterback your team. They do have, by the way, Texas Tech has a talented guy coming off an injury.
Yes.
So it's not like they're devoid of any sort of answer here, potential answer here. So that's the scenario. You know, you got a young, mostly unproven but talented guy coming off an injury who would have to be your guy if you don't get this guy. You're gonna light money on fire. But again, the alternative is this kid is playing. And by the way, if and when Brendan Sorsby gets on the field, man, it's – you think about the opposing crowds.
Oh, yeah.
Just think about all the conversation about it, the attention around it.
The College game day signs are going to be quite something.
Yeah. So does that affect someone? Some people are able to not let that affect them, but it's an absolute bleep storm here coming if he plays. And again, at some point, do you not worry about the game? I'm so sick of these people saying, well, this is not worse than beating someone. Or no one's saying that the actual act of gambling is a worse thing than assault or murder or whatever. I mean, that's just a totally disingenuous hijacking of the argument by the Texas Tech people. The point is that if it's just the sport itself, you can't have it. I mean, it is just one of those things that just can't be a part of a sport. And yes, I say that fully understanding that everybody has embraced the gambling money now that's around sports. That does not change the fundamental, real simple thing here. And I just would hope that fans of teams would be willing to like spike a year, especially now, Robbie. It's like, you think about something like this in the old days before all the portal and NIL.
Yeah.
You might be screwed for multiple years with something like this,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
Like this, first of all, this would be like a recruit and you'd be talking about multiple. I mean, look, you're Texas Tech. You paid a lot of money for the rest of your roster. You're probably going to, even if this other quarterback works out, you might win 8 games. You're not going to be in the playoff. So you've essentially wasted a lot of money, but like you can come right back next year. And it's a year-to-year sport now. To me, that should make it a little bit easier to bite the bullet with something this serious. I mean, I would hope so.
Is it naive of me to think, legitimately think, that both Josh Heupel and Clark Lea wouldn't let him play? Is it naive of me to think that? Because as A-Dub on the YouTube chat points out, I mean, Tennessee did dump a 5-star quarterback for less than this. They did. He said, Nico, we'll see you, bud. And I know it's more complicated than that. I mean, he wanted some money that they just weren't prepared to give him and all those things. And so it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. Is it totally naive of me to think that both Heupel and Clark Lea would not let him play?
Yeah, It's a I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, I would like to think so. I would think if we went around the sport and tried to figure out who in this sport, what head coaches in this sport would say, like, we just can't do this. We can't do this. We need to support him. Of course they're going to support. And that's the Texas Tech people. Are like, oh, you're not going to support him and his issue? I mean, just please go. Just fly a kite, man. I mean, it's so bad.
Would Dabo
the BS
let him play?
Coming out of the-
I don't think he would.
I don't think he would. I think Dab, you just named three guys that I think would be like, look, we're going to support him. But this is, and also, if you, again, you want to talk about his well-being.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about his well-being, right? Okay. So we talked about all the bleep storm around games, as someone pointed out. Also, absolutely, every bad play he makes, the speculation, whether you like it or not, is, oh, boy, that's a out of character interception or incompletion. How would you miss that throw? How did you take that sack? And so the speculation is what? That's just what it is, man. And so if you're worried about his well-being as a coach, as someone in this situation, is that the thing to do, to have him play? And all that stuff helps you in theory, but does it help his future to come out, have that all around him, struggle, and then really screw his NFL chances? Because that's absolutely a potential scenario here.
Shane Beamer would let him play because he's a snake. Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Tim in Nashville to the program. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. I'm sort of like what I think Robbie said a while ago. I would love to think, and I would say, no, don't let him play. But, you know, when it comes down to it, I may or may not. But the big deal in this whole situation is if we had a government body,
Tim, I think we lost you there for a second. Call us back, and we'll get back to you coming up at the next segment. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on this coming up next. Robbie and Rexrow, 1025 The Game. Today, the Nashville Sounds taking on the Durham Bulls at First Horizon Park. First pitch at 635. You can catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Maple Street Biscuit Company, and Social Cantina. Throwing it out there. Tennessee fans, Vanderbilt fans, if your team was dealing with the Sorsby situation, would you support Sorsby playing? Or would you take the moral stand out there? By the way, I mean, I do remember, Joe, last year when the transfer portal opened, we talked about the idea of maybe Sorsby ending up at Tennessee, and it never really came close to materializing. But good Lord, can you imagine if it did, what we'd be talking about right now?
I mean, no doubt. And it's really interesting because, yeah, like Josh Heupel, I hate to think that, like, when you put someone in this situation with all that's at stake, that they just would have to lawyer up and just spin everything and hope enough people buy it and just take the hits. It's possible that, like, any major program in the country would do that, including the coaches we named.
It's possible.
I do, like, I want to believe Heupel, Clark Lee, Dabo, and the others.
I 100% believe Dabo wouldn't do it, 100%.
So basically, you put Dabo on the pedestal of the coach with the highest level of morality. Is that what you're saying now?
I don't know that I put him on the highest level of morality. Like, he just spent all offseason openly naming people that were tampering with his football team. Like, and then if you did this, like, it would just totally undo all that. So I don't know. I'm convinced Dabo wouldn't do it. He wouldn't let him play.
Lane Kiffin would actually, like, somehow set it up so that he could, like, place bets on his phone while in the huddle.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Lane Kiffin would, like, not only play him, he would revel in it like a pig in slop.
Yeah, he'd bring up, like, FanDuel every week in his press conference.
he'd put, like, instead of the Nick Saban Coke bottle, yeah, he'd have, like, BetMGM, you know, at his lectern. My God. But so you've got Dabo is the coach you most, because I feel like Clark Lee wouldn't play him, man.
I don't think he would either.
But It'd be interesting to come up with a list of like definitely would. I mean, there's no definitely wouldn't. There's no definitely wouldn't, because when you go through the process right now, as things are, of building a roster, of finding that money, of get, again, you're getting that money from people and you're saying, hey, this is going to this quarterback. This is a big deal now. This could be something special for us. We need that extra, you know, half mil from you and then another half mil. I mean, it's like you are out there raising money at times, like directly, you know, sure. Some of it is just, I'm going to give my X amount, you know, to the school, but more and more, I mean, it is directly like, we need this kid, we need that kid, right? Now with Texas Tech, I mean, I'm sure there's other donors, but it seems a little different. It's almost like Cody Campbell's like, okay, what do we need? You know, and he just busts out the checkbook. But it's a lot to get someone like this and to try to build a competitive roster. And so you're totally in a bind. I mean, when this, I will say this, Robbie, you know, we are all ripping Texas Tech to shreds, and they deserve it. They deserve every bit of it. I do look back and say, why wasn't I screaming? Like, why didn't I write a column immediately when they supported him initially? You know what I mean? That should have been the moment where it's like, guys, you're seriously going to, and I think for me, and maybe it was same for you, and I think for a lot of people, I just didn't think that this would, even a local judge would.
Oh, I thought
would.
It was no chance.
So it was like, whatever, you know, sure, you know, support him, say whatever. But you can go back to that point and be like, right then, you should have said, listen, we're going to support you. You're obviously not playing. You can't play in this sport when something like this happens. We'll support you, and then it's over. And no one was first guessing at that point. It's not until after the judge makes this unconscionable ruling that we are, but it's really discouraging. And we already knew that, like, everybody wants rules except when it can mess them up from winning, right? Everybody wants rules except for when it might hurt them, might apply to them. But this is just such a, to me, a, how could you not see where this hurts the game that is your lifeblood, that exists right now so that everybody can make this money and have these opportunities? I don't understand how these Texas Tech people, I mean, it's like I'm watching, you know, the Branch Davidians or something right now, man. I mean, my God.
One texter says Lane Kiffin will be naming offensive plays after parlays that he had in the game if he could. Probably not far off from the truth. We got Tim back with us here on the program. Tim, good morning. Let's see if we got a better connection this time. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys, thanks. Now, what I was saying before I lost y'all, you know, if the NCAA had any kind of meeting on them, this probably wouldn't be an issue right now anyway. They would have it, you know, to say no, he'd be ineligible and leave it at that.
They already did say that. They did say that. He's banned by the NCAA.
Didn't hold
up,
though.
I know, but the NCAA's got no backbone no more. They got no meat. I mean, you can say what you want to with the NCAA. 30 years ago, it wouldn't even been an issue. The way it is today, the NCAA is a shell of what it used to be.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And the question is, thank you for the call, Tim. The question is, is there going to come a way for that to ever change ever again? And right now, it doesn't look like the answer is yes. I mean, but the collective bargaining part of that is going to have to be the answer, and we'll see if we ever get there.
Yeah, and again, this pushes us toward that. I just hope it doesn't push us toward that in tandem with him playing. Like, you know, he's still but also, I do think that if it gets to that point, then I think we really need to have a serious talk about the playoff committee. I know a lot of people are just dismissing that, and I did too, because they kind of set the precedent with Michigan, which was like, you guys deal with your stuff and you suspend them and all this stuff is happening, investigate, but we're just looking at football teams. And I respected that. I mean, I didn't think that they should have done something then. I think you can make a much stronger case now that, and they are not, they are their own separate entity. Now, this would also bring lawsuits and all that stuff, and of course you don't want to bring that on. But I think that you could, as the committee say, he is ineligible per the NCAA, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm not a lawyer, nor do I play one on radio, but I think that they could get away with that. And if they could, I mean, that, and if you know that up front, by the way, you know, not like it's some surprise, But like, you know that up front, like they're going to exclude them because of that. I mean, that could take care of the problem right there. And Texas Tech said, well, you know what, Brendan, we're going to keep supporting you, but you know, we have to move on.
Two questions for you. Would Deion play him? And if Nick Saban was still coaching in today's era of college football, would he play him?
Oh, my goodness. Those are very good ones.
Thank you.
Deion, I'll say yes, he'd play him. Saban, he'd play him. He'd play him, man.
No faith in Saban or Deion.
I mean, Saban is very good, and I understand. Like, I'm not like a lot of people who are like totally hating on Saban because he's saying stuff that he didn't, you know, that sort of contradicts the way he went about his business. Because like, he's not in the game anymore. But you know, Saban, I think he would spin it. I think he'd play him.
I feel good about Dabo. I do. The more I think about it, yeah. You know, one texter talks about like he'd kick him off the team and then start naming all the programs and turn a blind eye to gambling out there. Like, I feel good about Dabo. He wouldn't play him.
My question is, how good is Sorsby?
That's another thing. Like
I don't.
He was good at Cincinnati.
Too.
He actually wasn't very good at Cincinnati in the month of November. If you go back and look at it, like I don't know how good he is.
I know that's not real. You know, a legit reason, and it shouldn't be a legit reason. But teams, you know, make excuses and stretch things for guys who are, like, actually really good.
Yeah.
And I don't know how good Sorsby is. That shouldn't play a huge impact on it if you just want to do the right thing. But all this hubbub, transfer, you're paying all these guys and this quarterback stuff, like, we've seen it. You know, how often is it going to pan out? How good is this guy? Is he really worth all this trouble?
No, it's a great question because even just in terms of – so when you ask that question and think about all the stuff that's going to come if he plays, is it going to really blow up in your face, you know? And is it going to end up hurting him to even play this year? That's a good – and to your point, Robbie, there was a game, and I forget, it was a home game, and he was really bad. And I'm sorry, but now I look back, and it's like he was uncharacteristically bad in that game.
Well, he was horrific against Utah on the road. He was 11 of 33 in that game. It was awful. And then at home against Arizona the next week, he was 15 of 28, threw two picks in the game. He was awful in that game. And those were both in November.
Yeah, that's the Arizona game. So, again, do I think that he was on the take and he was betting against himself? No, I'm sure he wasn't. But that's the question that automatically gets asked when you let something like this happen.
We will take more of your thoughts on the Brendan Sorsby and the hypothetical question Rex Rhodes thrown out there, our number one philosopher, 615-737-1025, our phone number, Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 1025 The Game, taking your thoughts on Joe's hypothetical question. If Sorsby was quarterbacking your team, would you support him playing, or would you say, hey, we're going to be the ones that take the moral high ground here? He ain't playing for our team. It ain't happening. Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Mark in Nashville to the program. Mark, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, Robbie. Good morning, Uncle Joe. How you doing, man?
What's up, Mark? I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, not a whole lot. Joe, I was trying to tell y'all the other day, for breakfast, man, I had me a nice meatloaf sandwich on wheat toast. So, yeah, that's what I was trying to throw that out to y'all, man. Meatloaf on wheat toast, Robbie. Love it and enjoy it, man.
I don't know about that one.
I'd crush
that. Y'all talking about,
I'd crush that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Joe. Robbie, you know, you're talking about Sorsby. I got a couple of questions. Don't you take the coach, Jerry Maguire? He has a good reputation. Don't you think his reputation is taking a bad hit? Not only the university, but him as a coach, his reputation back in Sorsby the way he is and you know, not letting up off of it. They're going to ride or die with him. Don't you think that's hurting his reputation?
I mean, I don't think it's helping. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, Joe, you know, I'm going to throw this at you. Mark Emmert, president of the NCAA, is he still there, man, or has they got a new president?
No, it's Charlie, no, Emmert's long gone.
Charlie Baker, right?
It's Charlie Baker, who is much better than Mark Emmert, I will say.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't mean he can actually get anything done, but he's way better than Mark Emmert.
Okay, well, Joe, you remember back in the day, man, if you bought a kid on the college campus a Happy Meal or a Big Mac and a fry, Man, they suspended you for that, Joe. A Big Mac and a fry. That was an NCAA infraction. You can't buy him something to eat. I mean, I don't get where it's going out here now. Sorsby shouldn't be playing. He should have just stayed quiet. They should have went and got him somebody. I'm sure they got some other quarterbacks on the roster. Or maybe go out here and try to get somebody else. I mean, man, they're really making things hard for themselves. Now you got teams talking about they're going to boycott. They don't want to play him if they're going to let Sorsby play. Joe, you're right. There's no telling. He might have bet on some game. That BYU game he played in,
maybe.
He was kind of horrible last year. Yeah, he might have betted on some games and stuff, man. You never know. But I just think it's a bad situation of what they're allowing, man. They're letting money overrule everything and whatever, whatnot. And Texas Tech, even with Sorensby this year, Robbie, Joe, I didn't even have them as a playoff team. I don't think they'd even make the playoffs this year with Sorensby at quarterback. But, hey, Joe, Robbie, get ready to head to Illinois, man. So, look, I got a steak. I got steak with a fried egg and two pieces of nice crispy bacon on it on a hamburger bun.
That's more like
it. I got two of them.
Yeah. Oh, hell yes. Absolutely. Travel. The gout travel packet. That's my goodness. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Joe, we know you got to watch your gout stuff, man. I wasn't going to bring it up, but we know you got to watch that. So,
Thank you, man.
Y'all have a big weekend, Robert. We'll see y'all later.
Right.
Hey, Ian, take care, man. We'll see y'all.
All right, Mark. Appreciate you, bro.
All right. See y'all, man.
All right, Joe, here's the – a lot of people texting about the College Football Playoff Committee. Here is the problem with that. Here's the problem with them going ahead and making that decision. There's automatic bids. So if Texas Tech goes out there and wins the Big 12 championship, they're in. And there's nothing the College Football Playoff Committee can do about it because that's the way the rules are written. Like, they're in. So, like, if they go out there and they win the Big 12, it's a moot point because they have to be in at that point.
That is a good point. Can we rewrite some bylaws? I mean, it's only June 12th.
It's true. There's time.
Can we revisit? Can we make a Texas? Can we, you know, amendments to the Constitution?
Now,
can we not make a Texas Tech amendment to the Constitution?
But in all seriousness, there. I mean, the interesting part of that would be: what if they don't? What if they're, they don't get the automatic bid and they're at large? Could you keep them out if they're at large at that point?
Yeah. So my thing is with that, because I know someone on the text line was like, "Yeah, just wait until the end and then leave them out." To me, it's like let's be on the up and up and like communicate this clearly, you know. And again, the indications, the reporting. There's some people who have reached out to some of the committee members, and it sounds like at least on an individual basis, there's no appetite here to dip the toe into this. It's like we are here to look at football teams. You guys figure out all your other stuff, but it's just as you look for possible solutions, it'd be nice to at least entertain this. And if it was, then I would rather it's just like they're just ineligible for the College Football Playoff per the College Football Playoff Committee, you know, separate because the NCAA has them. And again, now does that? This is where I don't know. Does that violate the ruling here that the committee would do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure about that.
I mean,
either.
They're not the NCAA.
Don't think so.
Yeah,
they're not the NCAA. Yeah, so. It's one of those – it's a workaround, you know, but it doesn't seem like they want to get into that at all, which for the most part, I respect that. I think it's like you people are here strictly for football purposes, and that's what you should be. We have an enforcement – it may be toothless, but we have an enforcement arm. We have an investigative arm, you know, all these things. You know, the problem is that those things are weaker than they've ever been and subject to – even if they actually follow through on something, because the NCAA did the right thing with Sorsby, but even if they follow through on something, it doesn't mean it'll stick. So it's probably a pipe dream. It's probably going to come down to Texas Tech doing the right thing, which they're not going to do. I mean, they've got their freaking president sitting there just mimicking the talking points that no one with half a brain is buying, or just the hope that that we get an appeal ruling here quickly that reverses this and everybody can go on about their business. I mean, we're basically it's putting the hands of this into another judge.
We're
putting this into the hands of another judge.
Real quick, Loppy on the YouTube chat says, Robbie, it doesn't matter what the rules will say about getting in. They're rules against gambling, so who cares now? Right, but those are NCAA rules, and this is the College Football Playoff contract. Like, those are different things. So if they win the Big 12, they are getting in. Like, there's nothing to There's nothing the committee can do about it. There's a Big 12 title game, and if they win it, they're getting in there.
Yeah. Again, I go back to what Ian asked, too. It's just like, if you're Texas Tech, man, you think about this. I understand all that you've gone through to get this kid there. Now, you've supported him. That's great. You should support him. I believe that he has an addiction and that it's a real thing. But think real hard about the worst-case scenario here and what that could do to him.
Right.
I know no one will because, again, they've decided to go on a total PR assault and make themselves look more ridiculous daily, but they should think about that.
So back to our phone line. Welcome in Nate to the program. Nate, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
What's up, guys? I don't know if y'all had discussed this earlier in the show, but I don't know why I have not heard discussion on the latest with the lawyers going after the schools that say they won't play Texas Tech if, you know, that actually came to fruition. Because, I mean, yeah, they might be violating the contract, but it states in the NCAA college football guidelines that you cannot bet on your team or anything else. Also, at what point do you think the courts are looking at the NCAA and say, to heck with their guidelines, they don't have any power, and throw that into all the lawsuits?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, the guideline, again, like the that's what the temporary injunction when it comes to the guidelines here, Joe, like the temporary injunction has basically just said that there's nothing that the courts can do about it, or there's nothing that the NCAA can do about it. So that's the problem in all this is, yeah, the rules are say that it doesn't work, but when you get a judge to go out there and be like, yeah, he's eligible to play and we'll put the appeal date in February after the season, that's where the problem runs into.
Yeah, and these temporary injunctions, I mean, they've happened in a lot of things. Look, I think the Pavia ruling, he got a temporary injunction. I think that rule, and that changed the rule, that set a precedent, changed the rule. I think that's fine. I think it makes sense for the JUCO to be separate. You know, however you feel about that, that's at least arguable. You could argue both sides of that, right? And some of these, which have been really simple, like you can't deny someone the right to make money, to make money off their skills. I mean, those are like, I think most people could agree, like, duh. Like some of these NCAA rules, this is why they're in such a bad spot. But the fact that it gets to this, I just didn't think that, I didn't think this one was going to fly, even with a nice local judge. But the bottom line is, this is not the last time, certainly not the first, and it's not the last time that we're going to see an NCAA rule or a ruling challenged and then defeated by a judge.
Would Cignetti play him? I think he would.
Yeah. Yes.
That was a very quick yes.
Yes.
Indeed, he would. 615-737-1025. The Rex Rant coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I'm basically making out with the microphone.
Christian, pass the ball to Bobby.
If it's at least...
Yeah, I mean, someone in the SEC thinks I'm hot.
You're overly addicted to Hendon Hooker because you followed him with the Vols and somehow became
yes.
a cheerleader rather than a reporter.
You want to make me mad, I'll scream at you.
Win one for the Pekka?
No love for the Norwegians. Norwegian Wood.
The untouchable Pekka.
I will get absolutely wrecked and be belligerent and scream at Scott Stapp if you'd like.
Rocks Road.
I need a bit of Monica in my life.
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Rapid Response Generators, power when it matters most, and served by the Wine Cellar in Hendersonville. Joe, the floor is yours.
Thank you. And we were texting. That was a beautiful mashup. Also we were texting during the break, and I hope people have noticed. Robbie has noticed now that I'm sitting here in front of just an absolutely beautiful framed, I think signed. Is that signed?
Oh, it's signed.
Oh, it's signed. Micah Parsons, Dallas Cowboys jersey. Look at that. You know, my brother-in-law, man, that guy loves his Cowboys. Loves them so much, he's still, you know, thinking back to the glory days of Micah Parsons, Dallas Cowboy. So,
hate
you know,
to see
Robbie,
he's not there anymore.
Yeah, no, it's a real shame. That, you know, if you start feeling a little bit sad about Matt LaFleur, or, you know, you want to kill him or something, I mean, think of the Cowboys fans who wish they still had Micah Parsons. You know, it could be worse.
That's true.
Although Micah Parsons, although as he pointed out to me last night, like, well, when's he going to play this year? Like, well, yeah, he is hurt right now. Sorry to bring that up.
It'll be fun.
So I'm going to pivot here. There's any number of things I could scream about that I've experienced, because that's just a daily occurrence for me that, you know, I either embarrass myself or someone enrages me. But I think we're going to keep going with this. And here's the quick, because people are reacting to this, but here's the thing. We've had a lot of reaction. Have we had anyone just admit that they'd be like, screw it, I want to win? You people are lying.
Yeah.
Someone tell the truth out there. I got people saying, and I don't doubt that some of you would care about the game, and you can say that. Okay, I can understand some people say that. Nobody wants to admit that they'd be like, dude, look around. And I get it. You can make the argument. Look around at college football. Look around at college sports. And you want me to be the one to think of the greater good. No one thinks of the greater good. The people in charge of the sport don't think of the greater good. They are looking for short-term financial gain, cast their chips in, get the hell out. No one is. Everybody's out there trying to claw at each other's throats and win, and you want me, if I have this situation, to say, oh, no, yeah, that's fine. This is bad for the sport. Hell no. Someone be honest with me.
I mean,
No one has been honest.
I think I said it. I think I said I would like to think I would take the more high ground, but I probably wouldn't.
Okay, well, that's okay, but that's you. I'm talking to our listeners. I'm yelling at our listeners.
Well, based on what you know of Vol Twitter and the Vanderbilt fan base, that you know, just coming off their best football season of all time, what do you think? Would Vanderbilt fans accept this? Would Tennessee fans accept this? Like Tennessee fans, I'm just here to tell you. Let me let you in on a secret.
They'd be acting like Texas Tech fans.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there would be some that would be like, it's probably not a good idea, but I think if you went percentage-wise, a lot of Tennessee fans would be okay with him playing.
Yeah, I think it's probably – yeah, look, I think that the majority of any major fan base with a team that's actually in here competing, investing, and that includes Vanderbilt now. Vanderbilt is – they're in a different category. I mean, a few years ago, you know, maybe Vanderbilt fans like, wait until baseball season, whatever. Let's be on the up and up. I think the majority of any fan base is going to band together and rationalize as much as they need to rationalize, and have some nice groupthink on the message boards and social media, and talk themselves into it. People are just haters. They just don't want us to be good. I think there's probably just bigger percentages of certain fan bases might be like, guys, let's look at this here with a little bit of a wider lens here, and tell me, you know, how this is good for anybody. But I think the majority of every fan base would, and I think a strong majority of every fan base would talk themselves into why do we have to be the ones? If a judge says it's okay, the judge says it's okay. That's college sports.
I'm with you on that front. I do go back to what Ian threw out there earlier of like, how sure are we that this dude's any good? I mean, I understand he's good. Is he that good? That's the question, right? Because you go back to last year, like I said, November, I mean, Cincinnati got smoked. They lost every game in November, including a couple of just wretched performances by him in there. And yeah, there's a difference between, you know, going to Cincinnati and being an okay story in the Big 12 and going to Texas Tech, who just won the Big 12, and going to the college football playoff and playing in high stakes games and what that looks like. I don't know. Like, maybe he thrives in that situation. I don't know. But, like, he's certainly not a sure thing. Like, it's not like this is, you know, Johnny Manziel or Cam Newton that we're talking about in college football, where it's like, yeah, this dude, unquestionably, great college football player.
No, there's a lot of – you can make the argument to these Texas Tech people. They won't hear it. You can make the argument to them that you are actually putting this kid in peril. But we'll see. Keith says, no, we Vols fans would not accept this, just like we would not accept Shiano. I mean, are you on glue, Keith? I mean, seriously. Come on, man. First of all, are you trying to say, Keith, that the Shiano thing was like was a morality thing and not a, oh, my God, this guy sucks, he's a Rutgers coach? I understand that people brought up, like, this very vague comment he made during the Sandusky thing that some Vols fans twisted into, like, don't support child rape or whatever the signs. I mean, it's like, please do not sit here and try to tell me that Shiano Sunday was, like, some great win for morality.
615-737.
Am I being too hard on him, Robbie? Am I being too hard on him?
No, that's fine. I think it was good. Okay. 615-737.
You're the Vols fan with the barometer. Sorry to keep interrupting you. So, go ahead.
It's okay. I've taken earlier this week, I took like 4-year rant ideas right before you did it. So, it's a little bit of payback.
That's true.
It's like, wow, I was going to rant about that, and then I was going to rant about that, and then I was going to rant about that. Teron Davenport with us coming up next. Robbie and Rexro, 102.5 The Game.